Tantrum House Board Gaming Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRD in Greenville, South Carolina. This podcast is brought to you by our friendly local game store, Boardwalk, purveyors of fine games, Bezier Games, the new classics, AEG, We Make Fun, The Game Steward, your second chance at Kickstarter games, and Game Toppers LLC, upgrading your gaming experience. Your hosts are here to help you sort through the cardboard commotion to help you find the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up, especially if you're driving right now, because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome me back to the show. And Sarah's here too.
Today we have Will Meadows and Sarah Meadows.
Captain Dill.
Melissa Dill.
Ryan Pills.
And Jonah Duke.
In the house!
I feel like it's literally been 2 months.
Years.
Since I've been...
Feels like years.
In my own living room doing a podcast. I'm excited. Welcome back, us.
You can't welcome yourself back.
Somebody's got to welcome you. Who's picking the welcome?
Yourself
welcome back.
Back,
Jonah. Were you here last week?
Thank you. I was not here last week.
That's right.
I get confused because sometimes I do cameo spots.
Right. It's hard to know. It's hard to know when you're actually here or when time travel has applied. Speaking of, tonight we played That Time You Killed Me.
We did.
Which we'll talk about in a second, but I should probably give the summary rundown of the episode. This week we're going to be talking about the toy of the year, game of the year. What's the official word there, Kevin?
It's toy of the year, game category finalists.
Of the year. And we're going to give you guys some information on how to vote and tell you a little bit about what's been nominated. We're going to go through some Kickstarters. We're obviously going to talk about our Essen trip. Finally, we're finally back to talk about it. And then I feel like there was at least one other topic tonight.
About the Kickstarter connection?
Maybe some Kickstarter games.
Yep.
I think I already said that.
A few.
Tonight we did get to play That Time You Killed Me. It was the first time I played it. I think you guys have maybe talked about it on the show. I do listen to the show even when I'm not here.
I don't think we talked about it, though. So what were you listening to?
Jonah has definitely told me about it. Maybe it wasn't on the show.
I think I told you about it when I got a little preview of it a few weeks back at the Gen Con convention.
So That Time You Killed Me is an abstract strategy game where you are playing on three different boards. It's a two-player game, white versus black. In addition to the abstract strategy portion, there is a great little story that goes with it. You are time traveling. It's actually like a campaign, a game where there's like three or four boxes or more that you open up, and you will be the things that you do on board number one in the present will affect
well,
the future.
Board number one is the past.
The things that you do in the past will in fact affect the things in the future and present.
Like planting a seed.
Yeah. So the scenario one is if you plant a seed, which is like a nice little green token, then in the past, if you plant it, in the present, a cool little bush grows, which if you push your enemies into, will hurt them, kill them. And then in the future, that bush grows into a giant tree, which you can actually knock over onto other players. Clever stuff. Jonah, tell us how to win the game.
You have to eliminate your opponent. It is man eat, dog eats dog. What was I going to say?
It's a
cannibalism.
Yeah, because you are people. But anyway, you have to eliminate your opponent. You got to kill him in two time periods. Past, present, future. You got to kill them in two time periods to win the game.
And you only have a certain number of tokens because you can sort of...
Run out
of tokens.
Well, you can make doppelgangers.
Stretch yourself thin.
You can go back in time. If you go back in time like a week, but then you're in time for a week, you'd write back to where you started.
Whoa.
Isn't that crazy?
It is crazy.
So, honestly, Will, I mean, if you were born 10 years ago today, how old would you be?
30. Easy.
10. The answer is always 10.
Check out the TikToks. We got some great stuff happening over there.
Definitely.
The ladies crushed it.
They did.
Yes, we did.
How'd they do on the game guest, though? Tell us about that.
We have no correct games.
It's hard.
It's
you need to narrow it down, like top 100 games on BGG, and then I think we can like narrow it down.
If you don't know what we're talking about, we have some cool social media videos going up lately on our TikTok and Instagram pages, so follow us there. And we've been playing this game where we try to guess a board game in 30 seconds or a minute, and it's hard. It's just hard.
It's like 20 questions style, or like yes or no answers. There's so many board games out there.
Yeah.
I can't even guess from the ones just on my shelf. There's so many.
I think if it had been on my shelf, I was going to get it. I was totally going to be like,
we can do another one with games on the shelf.
We're doing it. I've got it. I'm winning it this time. Totally got it. Some of the other games we've been playing are, well, I actually didn't get to play this one, but I brought it back from Essen and I gave it to Kevin and Melissa to learn. Not because it looked too hard, just because I had too many games. I do want to play it. Have you guys had a chance to play Gutenberg yet?
Oh, yes. We have played Gutenberg.
Tell us the tale. I'm curious. I want to know.
This is a game all about printing presses, and you are collecting, what are they called? The little tokens.
Well, you have to get ink for your printing press. You also have to get the type sets.
The type sets, yeah.
And they're actually little wooden pieces.
They're so cool.
That are 3D for, they only have the vowels, A, I, O, U.
What about E?
Do they have E as well?
Why would they leave E out, Melissa?
I'm trying
the most
to remember.
Important vowel.
Why, right. Why would they leave E out?
I don't actually think there was an E, but that's kind of funny.
Crazy.
But so throughout the game, you are trying to complete orders. So you are collecting those typesets, the ink, and then you're going up different tracks on your own personal player board and completing orders. So you need like a certain level of calligraphy. You need a certain level of the tanning. What is that? The tanning hide thing.
Yeah, they each have names, and I don't remember what they all are. But they're basically finishing touches that you would put on your printed materials.
So you need like this order wants two A's and an I, and you also need a red ink, a blue ink, and whatever level on your board. Trying to complete those, get points. You're also going to get money so that you can buy more typesets. You can keep typesets throughout the whole game, but ink that you use is used. So yeah, it's kind of very it makes logical sense, and I enjoy it because there's asymmetric powers. Each player starts with some choices that they can choose at the beginning of the game. My guy let me move up the track a little bit ahead of everyone else. I don't know what Melissa's was.
Mine, I at the beginning of each round, I could choose a certain ink color to be wild.
Oh, yeah, that was
so
really
I was like,
nice.
Oh, I don't need a lot of green, but there's a lot of green available to purchase, so maybe I'll make green my wild card. So at the beginning of each round, you have these influence cubes, I'll call them that. I forget what their real title is. And you have this action board that you put behind a screen, and there are five or six actions, and you're putting cubes in each of these action slots. And then everyone reveals what they programmed, and whoever has the most cubes in the first action will go first. So basically the cubes are determining turn order for each action.
And there's like 4 to 5 different actions that you can take, different things that you can do during that round.
Right. So everyone will do action number 1, which is getting new orders based on the strength of what you programmed at the beginning. Mm-hmm. Really cool thing, which we haven't talked about yet, there's also these gears that you place on your board.
Thank you.
So that's one of the actions. So whoever has the most gets first pick of the gears. Once you have some gears on your board, at the beginning of each round, you turn the gear. There's interlocking gears, so all of them will turn, and one portion of the gear faces the active action side. So you're trying to plan out so when this turns, this action, that action, and this action will be available.
Ooh.
To
benefits.
Me.
It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool. That sounds good.
Is that part hard? Like, does
it turn
an unguessed number of times based on the size of the gears or anything?
Well, it's only potentially three actions on each gear.
And you start with no gears because you're actually building your printing press. So you're adding gears to your player board. And you can actually take an action later in the game to like adjust your gear. Like, I want this to be a different gear, or I want to just change it a little bit. So
cool. It looked really good. It's from Grana, I believe. Is that right?
Yep.
I'm looking forward to trying that one out. One other game I got to try out that looked amazing at Essen, brought it back, is called Murano from Madigo. And it looks beautiful. It's got like
the glass crystals.
Yeah, glass sculptures all over it. The gameplay for it it's pretty good. For as beautiful as it is, it lured me in. And then it's a pretty lightweight game. So it's kind of like Splendor, maybe, where you are trying to fulfill cards, you're trying to build these glass sculptures, and instead of being tokens that have jewels on them, it's actually jewels. So it is pretty nice. You've got like this central board that you're going to kind of, it has two different rings on it, and so each round you're going to collect a gem from the inner ring and from the outer ring, and you're going to turn this little knob to tell what you get on your turn. Then you're going to exchange some gems, and then basically you're going to turn those gems in to finish the cards. And then every time you finish a card, you can potentially use the power on it, or not just any time during the game once you've finished one. They all have powers in the corners, and those powers change each round. And basically, it's just a race to see who can complete, I think, five cards first. It is a really beautiful game, and if you are looking for a lightweight, attractive table presence type of game, it's a good experience, but it's not like the strategy wasn't quite what I was hoping it was going to be. Anybody play anything else cool? I got one more, if not.
Go for it, Will.
All right, so the other one I played was Ariantis from Cranio Creations, and it also looks kind of goofy and fun and lighthearted. There's like a bunch of weird creatures on the cover, unicorns and frog princes and stuff. The game is a Rondell-style area control, maybe set collection game. Basically, everyone has their own player board. On that player board, they're going to be recruiting these students who all go to these schools that are above the clouds. And you will take a number of students each round and add them to either your school board in front of you or out onto the floating cloud spaces out on the Rondell. And then whoever has the most of each colored student in their school will gain the professor token that goes with it. And when you own the professor token, you have that color influence on the board. If you move the Mother Nature beehive token onto a space where you have the majority influence, you can put one of your pillars out on there, and then once you either spend all of your pillars or there's a couple other game ending conditions, you win the game. The cool thing about these clouds is that if you are ever able to get the control, the influence over two clouds next to each other, they like suck together and merge into one.
That's cool.
So the board kind of shrinks as you're going. So all of a sudden you had planned out that on your turn you were going to move five places and you were going to put these two together, you know, or whatever. Suddenly the board is like smaller and you can't get quite to where you wanted to get, or somebody else has stolen all your influence on one of them. There is also a bidding aspect at the beginning of the game where you play a card. Nobody can play the same card, so you get to see what card is played before you, and then you get to decide, am I going to play higher or lower? Do I want to go sooner or later in the turn round? So there's just, for being as light and fluffy as it looked, there actually is a pretty good amount of strategy in all three phases of the game. I've played it, I don't even know, like a half a dozen times already, and have enjoyed it every time. It's a little bit different between two players and three players. I haven't played it with four players. When you play four, you play in teams. And so I don't even know what that feels like, but I bet that's interesting as well. And had a lot of fun trying that one out. So I'll have to show you guys how to play that one. It's fun. All right, I've talked enough. Let's jump into our Kickstarter conniption.
Kickstarter conniption.
This episode will be talking about three games coming to Kickstarter between November 7th and November 21st. Kevin, start us off.
All right, November 9th, Mighty Boards is launching a Kickstarter campaign for Hamlet. This is by David Chirkop, and it's for 1 to 4 players. Takes about 60 to 90 minutes to play. This game, when I first looked at it, looked like a game that is similar to Castles of Mad King Ludwig because the tiles are all crazy shapes. Mm-hmm. Crazy shapes. Did you guys see this at Essen?
We did see it. I didn't get to play it. Okay. It does look a little bit like that, and I was like, ooh, tell me more.
But you're not creating your own Hamlet. You're all
community.
Community Hamlet. And it looks like you're adding these weird shapes to the main, on the main area of the table, one central hamlet, and villagers are collecting resources and constructing things and stuff like that. So,
yeah, from what I did understand, the replayability on it is like super high because you can like attach the building in totally different ways based on like where the paths are and the trees and what cuts off what, and each building like gives you more resources or something based on what it's next to. So it sounded like very different experience every time.
It looked pretty cool. So check out Hamlet from Mighty Boards coming to Kickstarter November 11th. Melissa.
On November 11th is Weather Machine from Eagle Griffin Games. This is designed by Vital Lacerda and the artist is Ian O'Toole. So that combo of Eagle Griffin, Vital Lacerda and Ian O'Toole is coming together again for another game. It is for 1 to 4 players. Plays, it says, 1 to 2.5. I'm assuming some of that is based on player count, depending on how many players there are. But basically, the storyline is that this professor built this weather machine to solve the world's weather issues, and it kind of had the opposite effect and caused lots and lots of issues. So now he's building a new machine and trying to fix the stuff that went wrong. So you're trying to build this machine to control the weather and not have it destroy all of humanity instead. The game has the mechanisms are action points, set collection, tile placement, and worker placement. Its weight on BGG is about 3.6. So normally, Vitalis Serra's games are a little on the heavier side with lots of moving parts and lots of strategy and learning things as they go. It looks really cool, kind of a kind of muted colors, lots of pieces, not quite steampunky, but definitely an interesting aesthetic to it. Weather Machine, if you like a crunchier game with lots of choices and strategy and decisions, coming November 11th. Will.
I'm looking at the game Garden Bow from designer David Abelson and Alex Johns. Now, this one kind of has like a near and dear spot to me. I helped David do some initial art development for this in the early phases of the game. Did a bunch of playtesting with him, added a bunch of different components, and he ended up like kicking me to the curb because Matt Paquette was on board. I would have kicked me too. So Matt Paquette and Todd Sanders are doing the artwork for this game. It is a beautiful tile placement, tile overlapping game where you have kind of a rondelle in the middle of the board where you'll be gaining like sunshine and water that you will use to grow your garden. Garden Bau is the German word for flower, garden, something. And in the game, you will be placing a number of different tiles, and basically you will start with smaller baby seedlings, and then if you can get matching sets of those flowers together, you can put higher scoring tiles on top of those that represent the matured plant. I think there might even be a third layer of tile placement on top of that. And you're basically building out your own tableau. There's in-game scoring conditions and a lot of fun. It's a 2-4 player game. It takes about 30 to 60 minutes. And this game has been playtested and refined over and over and over again. And it's like, it's really, at this point, a really solid, really puzzly game. So definitely worth checking out Garden Bow from 25th Century Games on Kickstarter soon.
Awesome. Well, should we talk about the Essen Trip or go to the Toy of the Year? Let's do the Essen Trip now.
Let's do it.
All right.
Jonah.
Jonah, Will, and Sarah here to give us all the juicy tidbits of Essen. Will and Sarah, this is time number two for you.
It is.
Yes, Jonah, it is. This is your first experience. Have you ever been in Germany before, Jonah?
Believe it or not, I have. When
what?
I was really little. So I was prepared.
You're super prepared.
Mm-hmm. I was not prepared for the lack of
Deutsch.
Water.
Yes.
So let's talk about it.
Let me lay the groundwork for 2 seconds,
okay.
And then we'll get all of Jonah's sweet reactions, because these are very similar reactions that I had last time we went. I can't wait to hear them rehashed. Basically, Sarah and I were representing Genius Games. They had us running their booth at Essen, had a great time. They sent us over there. We ran the show. And then after the show, it was Jonah and Chantel's fifth wedding anniversary.
It was.
Congratulations.
Yes. Congratulations to us.
Yes.
You can't congratulate yourself.
Yeah. When it's about weddings, you can't.
And then Sarah and I were planning to celebrate our 15th wedding anniversary last year. Hiccups. And so we went this year. And so we turned it into this nice little romantic getaway at the end where we hit up a couple other locations on the way back and had a generally fantastic time.
Yep.
Jonah, start us off. Tell us about that water.
Okay. So back to the water. So basically, water is not free.
It's a limited
Germany,
resource.
Very limited. And if you do purchase water, first off, they drink sparkling water. That's kind of standard. I'm not a huge fan, so I'm definitely wanting still
water. How
are
you going to chug sparkling water?
Yeah,
it's
I need water.
I just walked a thousand
obviously
miles.
Obviously, you're walking everywhere. I mean, people walk. So, like, I sit down in the restaurant. I need water. You know what I mean? Like, I would like a glass of water. No, it's not happening. They're going to give you a bottle, small
for
bottle of still water. More expensive is the most expensive drink on the menu. Come on now. I need water though. Like,
How are they not all dehydrated?
Yeah, what is happening? I need water, please. Then
Kevin might not survive if we go.
When you you're like, I have to pay €6 for the water.
Or I'll die.
Yeah, I don't know what else I have to do it. Then you also need to pay to get in the bathroom. So it's double edged
on the way in and on the way out.
It's double edged because then you're like, can I now hold my bathroom trip? I need to walk. How far are
we
walking?
All the way back to the hotel.
Yeah, how far are we walking? Man, this is... Anyway.
If you don't drink water, you don't have to go to the bathroom.
There was
apparently their solution.
And water issues during the trip. But other than that, it was a great experience, but I just... A few days in a row.
It became a funny thing where we'd get to the table and there was like maybe one restaurant where they brought us water. And we were like, oh, where are we? This place is amazing.
Right. Can you believe they brought us water? This is crazy. When we got back in the airport on the way back and we stopped at the airport to eat and they filled us up with water and refills, we were like literally
32-ounce Coke boiling over.
We're like drinking everything. They're going to bring us more water. They're going to refill it.
Like, and you leave the quenched desert and you like find that oasis. TGI Fridays.
But you guys know where the restaurants are now that have water.
No.
They're not in Germany. Right, they're in Germany. Other countries.
Yeah. Oh, Germany was not giving you water.
Okay.
Mm-mm, they don't care about you like that.
I think we should also recount another important experience that we had was the escape room that we involuntarily got. Uh-huh.
That was fun. We have a nice video. We should post this at some point.
We should. I think it's pretty safe.
So we were trying to get into our Airbnb in France because after we left Essen, after we volunteered and had a great time, we went over to Paris, France and spent a few days there. And it we had to take the train all day, the bus all day type idea. And so it's 1 a.m., 2 a.m. I don't know what time it is.
It was 1 a.m. when our bus ended and it was another 30 minutes.
Yeah, let's talk about that Uber or taxi.
Okay, yeah.
From the bus station
you can't beat that welcome.
So realize, everyone, we're in a foreign country. So when the Uber pulls up and he says things to you, I don't know, and then you say English and he says,
no.
Okay, cool. All right, sounds good. Let's put all our stuff in here and get in.
You show them your phone. You hope that you're all on the same page. Nobody knows what's going on. It's 1 in the morning.
So then we get in. So first off, they have cooler vans than we have.
Way cooler.
Because the seats face each other in the middle.
That's cool.
So it's like 3 and 3. So,
this van, it was like, oh, this is limo.
It's nice.
This
we rode
great.
In like two of those. They got better vans than we have.
He had interior lighting, and the first thing all of us thought, and most of us said, was, if this is the cash van with us.
If this is the cash cab, we have lucked out. However, it's in France. I don't know how we're going to win.
Right, we're going to lose.
So he's got lights going or whatever. And then he's playing his music louder than he should have been.
Right. Well, he turned it on like American music.
I think it's like the radio.
I think it was for us.
Maybe. I don't know what he did. I think it's like the radio. Louder than it should have been. And I mean, it was like one head bob or clap
acknowledgement
of the radio.
To
and he
get it
cranked
on
it like the loudest. It is 1:30.
Whole body shaking.
We're like,
trying to talk to each other. Like, do you think we're going the right way? But all you can see is like our mouths moving and like.
Yeah. And I think like he turned it up and we're like, oh, okay. And louder because we acknowledged it. It was so loud.
It didn't need to go any louder.
So anyway, we finally get to the
He drops us off. Our hearts are still beating.
Yeah.
It's 2 a.m. We're trying to be quiet.
Trying to get into Airbnb. So, small alleyway, door on the side of the downtown building.
Yeah, Sarah found us a great Airbnb, like less than a mile from the Eiffel Tower.
On the side of the bakery type idea. So we're trying to get in. It's a code on the outside. So we got to punch in the code to get in.
So we did that fine.
We walk in, completely pitch dark, right?
Tiny. We're all like
tiny,
bumping into each other with our luggage.
It's like a curved, small, small hallway, two doors, stairs.
There was like a closet door too. And like,
I don't know what it was.
It was dark.
We can't see. It's dark. So Sarah's got the phone trying to figure out the Airbnb instructions how to get in,
and she's reading them off like escape room style. Okay, but type in the code at the panel that's to the left of the door.
The lady who wrote them was obviously French and obviously used a translator,
right?
Yes. To get the instructions in there, so they're like out of order and not good.
Mail post on sidewall.
Yeah.
Type in 3-digit code.
Left.
What? Right.
And then it's like, use key in the left key the thing to open door on right. Oh, boy. So then we're looking at the door. The door's got tape over the keyholes. sort of like tape over the keyholes. Can't
what does
us.
That mean?
But door, this... I mean, this is clearly door of the right. Like, we're all, you know how, like, it's 2 a.m. Like, we can't barely read it. You're looking at everyone for confirmation. This is the right, right?
Right. It's like, pitch left, black. Right. Sarah has
this
her
has
phone.
To be it.
Chantel has a light on trying to finish it. And then I'm videotaping it just because right. I realized 4 steps in. It's oh, like, this is an escape room.
The key's in, like, a mailbox. But
yeah,
then
so we
opened,
had to,
it's
yeah,
a bottom
it was like
mailbox.
The
so then
bottom
you
mailbox
bend down.
In
when
there.
When you bend down, you there's to... like 6 lockboxes. It was the left lockbox. We couldn't get the lock.
Three-digit code on that.
We got the lockbox open, but then, yeah, and it was like, do not damage the lockbox. It is 100 euros.
Yeah, and then she's like, oh, man. Door on the right, not next to the elevator.
Where's the elevator?
First off, what elevator is in here? There's no. This is. We're all shoulder touching in this hallway.
There can be no elevator.
Tapes
here.
Over the thing. So then, you know, it takes like 4 people to try. Like, okay, should we still try it? We don't know.
Right,
let
we
me
break
see.
It into
you
somebody know, else's
we
apartment.
We can't.
At
it's 2 a.m. Like, we can't make noise. So I keep reading down, and it's just like repeating herself, and then we realize.
Yep. So, well, Jonah decides I'm going to go upstairs.
Oh yeah, so then it's like a circular stairway
at 2 a.m.
Yeah,
2 a.m.
So I walk upstairs, and it's just like
never leave
very
the group.
Short
yes,
landing.
Never
yes,
leave the
we're
group,
like,
Jonah.
Jonah, have you ever watched a horror movie? You never separate from the group.
On every landing, there's 2 doors. And, like, it's one of those spiral staircases where I just kind of looked up and it was like, I don't know how
this
big
might
this
might go on forever.
In, but it might go on forever. So I'm not going to walk past, like, one. Plus, the stairs had, like, fabric on them. It was, like, carpeted in the middle.
With
but then
plastic
it was
over top.
Plastic
yeah, they had
over
put
the carpet.
Plastic
it was weird. So your footing's
it.
Not really right.
Right.
It's a small
like, if
staircase.
If you needed to drag a body
spiraling.
Out, you wouldn't leave any bloodstains.
Yeah. It's like, where are we? We don't know what's happening. But then it was all just a simple American thing because ground floor for them is not.
Right. The first floor.
First floor.
First floor is the
first
floor.
First floor is walk yeah. up one. So then we walked up one, and we tried to get in that door that had a fake doorknob. So
in the middle of the door.
Doorknob in the middle
Hobbit
that's
style.
Fake.
Right.
So then we're trying to use the doorknob. It's just unscrewing. We're like, oh boy. It was. But then we got in, and it was gorgeous, actually.
My favorite part was actually as soon as we got in, we turned the lights on. We're like, we made it. And then the door. Closes behind us. We turn around. Do we have pictures of this lock?
We do.
The locking mechanism on this door. I was like, oh, we're trapped. We're yeah. never getting out. There's like 5 bolts yeah. coming into the wall.
It was like a safe. It was like the
was
house with
lock.
Clock in its walls.
Yes.
Lock. It was like a safe lock. And then went up. Yeah. And it was like. And it was like that doorknob was fake. What?
Right.
Yeah, it sure was. It was like. And then on the inside, there's no doorknob.
Right.
There was yeah. no doorknob on the inside. So they were like,
out through the window.
We're definitely
yeah,
locked in
we
here.
Were. We were glad we were only
he
on
was
the
like, I'm tired. I'm going to go to sleep, but we're definitely locked in.
Hopefully tomorrow we can leave.
Awesome. How was the actual fair?
It was good, actually. When we went to Gen Con, it felt small.
Right.
When we went to Origins, it felt tiny.
It felt way too small.
When we went to Essen, though, it felt good. They did have one fewer exhibit hall entirely. Mm-hmm. So usually I think they have 6, and they had one that was entirely missing. Nothing was in there. However, it takes you a day to get through 1 or 2 exhibit halls. So I still don't think I really saw everything. There was a lot of people there. They did shorten a lot of the halls, so everything was more compact, just like they did at Gen Con.
Mm-hmm.
But I think overall, like the energy level felt really good.
Okay.
Publishers seemed really happy with the crowds and what they were selling.
Cool.
And it felt really good just to see all the people that we haven't seen in 2 years.
I heard Jonah was a fan favorite.
And it was crazy.
Celebrity status.
Celebrity.
It really wasn't me. It was the shirt. It was the Tantrum House shirt. People kept seeing
the brand.
It running up and taking pictures. And did I tell you about this, Ryan? I signed a rule book. Yeah.
For
I don't
screaming
know if you've
fans.
Ever hit that level of celebrity. But
stardom.
Go over to Essen, sign some rule books.
So Sarah and I worked at the booth most of the time for Genius Games. Jonah and I ran out a couple times. Jonah did a lot of media coverage for us. And there was at least once or twice where he came back and he was like, I got to take this shirt off. I can't get through the halls. You do need to recount the whole story for Ryan because it's a great story.
Basically, so I tried to go do it. So it's like a thing at these conventions to trade games like on the last day. Like you can,
yeah.
people who have played them all day or whatever, you can trade. So. I was going to go trade a game because Tina, our international intern, really wanted this game. And we had been getting games for free, trading them, and they'd been giving us review and media copies and things like that. So I said, oh, I'll try to go trade it if you'd like to trade it. So I walk over there, but I was not wearing the Tantrum House shirt. And these folks did not give me the time of day. And I was like, you must not know what's been happening to me.
Do you know who I am?
All week, right? So I go back to the booth, and I... put on the Tantrum House shirt. So now I'm like, watch this.
He-Man.
Right?
I have
so
the power.
I'm on the way there. Turns out the game that I wanted to trade was actually sold out, so I didn't end up getting it. But on the way there, or on the way back, as soon as I turn around, they tell me the game sold out. I turn around, and this lady sees me and goes, crazy. Oh my goodness, Tantrum House, this is crazy. You guys are celebrities. Can I take a picture? Calling her partner over, you know, take a picture. This is, oh, this is so good. This is the lady I signed the rule book for. Well, awesome. Because she went so crazy, there was like a line behind her of people waiting to talk to me.
What's going on? Who's this guy over here?
Yeah, so like,
he must be
so
famous.
Like, I entertained them because we had actually done one of their games, one of the videos for them. So I was talking to them and having a good time and whatever. But then as soon as they were done, like, I turned to walk away and I had like a line waiting for me. And I was like, what? So then the next guy needed to show me his prototype of the games, of a deck building game for kids. And then the guy after that wanted to talk to me. It was a lot. Like, when I just tried
Jonah
to do something
fun. Jonah disappeared for a while.
Yeah, like, I was gone for, and I was like two halls away. I got to walk like a mile to get back. I'm like, I need to go. So then I'm walking back, and another guy just comes out of nowhere, hands me a game, obviously doesn't speak a lot of English, points to the shirt, hands me a game. I was like, okay, appreciate you. I'm trying to get back to our hall. So I get back. I'm like, man, I said to them, like, man, I really need to take the shirt off. Like, it was a little wild for me. But I'm going to sit in the corner over here and, like, you know, demo a game or something. So I didn't change my, you know, I had to take my shirt off. So I just sat in the corner. I'm sitting in the corner. Somebody walks up out of nowhere, hands me another game. I'm like, this is a little aggressive. Like, I don't have this much room in my suitcase. I got to take the shirt off. So it was just a lot.
And he just took it off right there.
And then everyone ran away. Oh, wait, then they all came running in. It really was excellent. I thoroughly enjoy it. There's something different about the culture over there. Obviously makes sense. And very thoroughly enjoyed the warm welcome that we always receive. It's a bigger event maybe, and so maybe there's more people, but I definitely felt... No offense, all you Americans, but definitely felt appreciated. There were a lot of people who came up and said, oh, man, we really like the stuff you guys are doing. We appreciate the family friendliness of it. We appreciate the takes that you guys have with the wide variety. You know, we appreciate the quality. It was a good time. It was very humbling and honoring to be able to meet so many people that were excited to get an opportunity.
And
to
even some
FaceTime.
People who attended TantrumCon.
That was super cool.
It was fun.
Walking down the aisle and saw people with TantrumCon shirts on. Like, what? Those are great shirts. Got to take some pictures with them. It was super fun. And then you also mentioned Tina, our international intern. Yeah. Really fantastic to get the opportunity to see her. It's been 2 years. In that time, she had a cute, super cute little baby boy. Danny is there 1 year. Did he turn one while
he
we were there?
One at Essen.
Happy birthday, Danny. I got to hang out with several friends over there, but spent a lot of time with Tina and really got to just enjoy catching up and seeing all the cool stuff that they've got going on and meeting Danny. And it was a lot of fun. Very thankful for her help. She did a great job translating some German for us at the booth and getting us out of trouble in whatever cases and pointing us in the right direction. The food. We really haven't talked about the food enough, Jonah.
We had a great restaurant experience.
Yes. At all of
top
them.
Tens.
Yes.
Thank you hot pot. So much.
So we
to
went
Tina.
To this Chinese hot pot
in Germany.
My first time.
You gotta do it.
I wasn't ready. So here's the problem. We've been there for 3 days now. So it doesn't really matter where we go. I'm thirsty. They're not giving me water. I need water, right? So we go to this Chinese hot pot, and I don't know if you've seen this before, like in TV or movie or whatever, but they put this huge bowl of like broth in the middle of the table, and they turn it on. So it's like hot in the restaurant because every table has this huge bowl of broth that's boiling.
Steaming.
And then they're like, two sides to the bowl. Do you want spicy? Do you not want spicy? So obviously we need to get half and half, right?
Try
half
it.
Spicy, half not spicy. And then the guy's like, he's speaking pretty good English, actually.
Yeah, he did great.
The guy's like, just so you know, the spicy side is going to numb your tongue and lips.
Got the Szechuan peppers in there.
So I'm like, I mean, that's fine. I like spicy. So, I mean, I'm here for it. You know what I mean? But so basically what happened, so you go collect all this raw food.
My name is Jonah.
Like they had raw everything. You go collect it and you put it in the water and boil it. And you cook it. But basically, I wasn't doing very well at this restaurant for about the first 30 minutes. I wasn't doing it right. I was putting
long
meat in,
or?
But then I didn't realize it was going to sink. So then I'm trying to find it in the water. I can't find it. I think people are eating my
comical.
Meat. I was like, man, I'm hungry and it's good, but I can't. Why haven't
it's
I
not
eaten?
Enough.
And
like, I've been here for 30 minutes.
Have
I'm not
this,
eating.
But we cook
am
a lot.
Am I eating? I'm like, something's going on. But anyway, I'm like hot. Like I'm, but good news about this restaurant, it was like all you can drink. So it was, they had like
cases of beverages.
Open the freezer door and like grab the liter of water and like you can have it. So I was like loving it. But it wasn't cold.
Right.
It was room temperature. Right. It was also weird. But anyway, 30 minutes in, I'm like, I'm doing something wrong. An hour in, I'm sweating because it's hot in here. My mouth is numb. I'm like trying to eat. It was crazy. But then.
It was delicious, though.
It was great.
Especially if you knew how to cook. It was great.
If you knew how to cook, Chantel and I ate so much food.
I was struggling for a long time. Well, but then they had ice cream.
Not as much.
And they had pistachio.
Well, I heard about this pistachio.
Do we have like an angelic background sound effect?
And it was so good. Yeah, that'll work. I had like 5 bowls of this ice cream. It was delicious. I don't know what was happening with the ice cream.
It was so good. The pistachio was amazing. And then Jonah started mixing it with coconut, which I've never had before. Ooh, there we go. Mixed it. And I think we narrowed it down to the fact that our mouths were numb from the Szechuan, but it was so smooth. It was like the most velvety, delicious ice cream.
Really good.
We were like passing out. We're on bowl 11. We're like, I need more of it, but I can't fit any more in my gullet. Why is this so delicious?
Yeah, it was actually a huge restaurant choice for the liquid.
It was. We will definitely go there in future times because it was a win.
I'm interested in coming to SN.
You guys coming next year? You in?
I am.
The Jonah story pulled him in.
I think we're looking forward to it.
All right, let's do
drink
it.
Drink some water before you go.
Bring your Camelback
it's
with you.
Tough. It's tough. Chantel bought a water bottle, and it was like a lifesaver.
Yeah,
I had
mine too, and I was fine. But you definitely had to prepare ahead of time.
If
and
you
think
don't
about
bring a water bottle,
we're like
you
touring
are
like
thirsty.
Switzerland or something before we do Germany.
We can do it.
We will see what's on the list for this year.
Okay,
crazy.
One other thing we got to hit up, which was fantastic, was between. Essen and Paris, our bus only went halfway, our train only went halfway, so we had to stop in Brussels for just a couple hours, which turned into a great little trip. We got to see the downtown area. We went and hit a restaurant. As we were walking down this quaint little cobblestone alleyway.
Serving waffles out of the window. And it
no.
was delicious.
That sounds amazing.
It was so good.
Belgian waffles straight off of the griddle.
I may have
into
cheered
your face.
In the middle of the alley.
Yes.
I was so excited
there
to
was
see
dancing
them.
And lifting of hands.
It was it was so good.
Best waffles I've ever eaten in my life. And boy, are we
so
doing
this,
them wrong
so
here
is
in the
crazy.
U.S.
So listen to this. So she's like, you want a waffle? Or she didn't say that. She's speaking whatever she's speaking. But I'm like, I need a waffle, please. Like, give me a waffle. And she puts the batter on the waffle maker. This is not the batter. The batter does not look like what you think it looks like.
Yeah.
Like it's not all the waffle batter you've ever seen. Mm-mm.
It's wrong. It's not the Holiday Inn batter at the Continental Breakfast.
I don't even know how to describe it.
It is.
She's like,
I found the recipe.
Apart.
I found the recipe. It is a yeast bread dough. Like, with
I don't know what
pearl
it was.
Sugar in it, so that it crystallizes and stays crunchy.
It was delicious.
And
I don't know what
sweet.
It was.
It was so good.
Yeah.
So
I've
amazing.
Been,
and
I've been
it was
about it.
Build your own. So she
oh,
had like
20
some topping choices
put
and just put
it,
whatever
put
you want and we'll figure out a price.
The visual layout was key. You walk up and she has an entire like 6x6 grid of waffles and like everything on the bottom row, €4. Everything in the middle row, €5. Everything on the top row, €6. I'm only looking at the top row. Everything on it looks amazing.
Yeah.
It was the spread was just like you know in cartoons when like you smell it and then like it picks your feet up off the ground and you float through the air to the that's exactly what happened to
it was
all
that
of us.
Good though. It was delicious.
It was
I'm
so
looking
good.
Forward to it.
Yeah. Really great time, really good show, really good to see everybody there.
I did miss the food trucks and the carnival type food.
Maybe they'll have them next year.
The show. I'm hoping they are back next time. I miss chimney bread.
Had a pretty
and
good crepe,
the,
though.
We did have good crepes. That was the one thing good. I did get.
So next year, October 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th.
Got it on the calendar. Let's do it.
You already have it on the calendar?
No, but I'll put it on today.
I mean, that's early.
That is pretty early.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
You might. Oh, you're still going to miss Oktoberfest because it actually happens like in September.
September. I don't know if they'll have Christmas stuff out yet. I think they put Christmas stuff out.
Year-round.
Yeah.
Early.
Well, I think they do after October.
They don't do Thanksgiving, so it comes out really
or
early.
Halloween. So it's like as soon as summer ends, it's
as
like
as soon as Oktoberfest is over the 1st of October, it's
okay.
Christmas.
Cool. Excellent stuff. Yeah, I'm sure we'll have more to talk about in the very near future. We did bring back quite a haul of games, and so we'll have some reviews and previews and other things like that coming to our channel soon. I think we should probably switch gears. There's plenty more Essen we can talk about in the future, but let's go ahead and take a little bit of time to talk about the Toy Awards.
Yep, Toy of the Year Awards. Tantrum House is able to give all the finalists for the Toy of the Year in the games category. So we're blessed to do that. Will and Jonah did a special news video, so you can look at all the different ones. What we thought we'd just run through them real quick and then maybe play a couple of them. I've got a couple out here. Marvel Villainous from Robinsberger. Yes, Melissa?
I was going to ask what organization is doing the award.
This is the Toy Foundation, which is doing this Toy of the Year award. And you can actually go vote at toyawards.org.
Yeah, they have this contest every year. It's kind of like the Oscars of toy games. Like, they try to make a big deal out of it. The Toy Foundation does give like children and families in difficult situations. They donate a lot of games to them. And so part of this event is raising awareness for that. And yeah, we got to announce these on the news show. So if you want to see pictures of it, definitely check that out. But yeah, there's several good games on this category. It'll be interesting to see which one pulls it out. You mentioned Marvel Villainous.
Disney's It's a Small World.
There's a game of Cat and Mouth from the makers of Exploding Kittens.
Monopoly Builder.
There's a Headbands Blast Off. It's a new version from Spin Master.
Yep, and Gib Gab, which I think we're going to play right now.
Are we going to do it?
Yep.
I don't actually know how. Did you figure it out?
I know how to play.
Okay, let's do it. So
here we go.
Kevin's holding up a white rod. What would we call this? Oh, me and Jonah playing this?
Oh, yeah.
Is this
all right.
Happening?
Jonah, you're green?
Yeah.
Will, you're blue.
I've got a big blue button in front of me.
Here's the rules. I'm going to give you a category.
Okay.
Starting with Jonah.
Okay.
You're going to say
a word from
the category. Okay. You're going to hit the green button. Okay. You're trying to get... Basically, there's like
get the light.
10... Getting your light to...
6 dots
kind of, like,
of light.
A
little tug of war going on here. Gotcha. There's a light, like a light pad in front of these two guys.
Is it
going
to time him down, like if he can't think of one?
I'm guessing.
I'm sure. But you're going
to find out.
Hit that... Whatever you call it.
Large button.
Hit the button.
So one button
to
on
start
the thing.
It.
Yeah.
It's the only button.
It's the only button. You got green. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
The category is...
Did we hit that button?
No. It's already ready.
Oh.
The category is Christmas movies. Go. Christmas movies.
Home Alone.
Home Alone 2.
Home Alone 3.
It's got to be Home Alone 4.
Stupid. Christmas with the Cranks.
Die Hard.
Come on. Muppet Christmas Carol.
The Grinch.
The animated Grinch.
Did you already say Muppet Christmas Carol?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did.
Oh, he did? Shoot. Oh, we lose.
It's coming through
well.
I already said that.
Santa Claus. That's fine.
Hit it, Will.
Jack Frost.
Santa Claus 2.
Santa Claus 3. I gotta take it from him.
Christmas movies. The Little Drummer Boy.
The Nutcracker.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Elf.
What's the snowman monster would call?
I don't know. ladies and gentlemen, it's
no!
over.
Hey!
And there it is.
Jonah wins.
The whole bar turned green.
Yep.
Nicely done. Oh, and you get 1 point. There you go.
Oh, look at
lit
that.
Up. You got to win 11 more times in a row.
That's a lot of
and
wins.
And then you take. And you click that orange button, turn it off.
All right, cool stuff. Cool. Gib Gab, that was fun. That's a neat one. This looks very cool. What's this stuff on the bottom? You got some insane. Oh, there's like different speed settings.
Yeah, you have different settings, and then you have a bunch of different categories. So,
yep. Yeah. So for those who are listening, it's this white bar, and there's only two buttons on the thing. One's blue, one's green, and so you sit across from each other. One person's got the blue button, one person's got the green button. And then every time you answer one of the questions correct, you just hit your button. There's lights in the middle of it that kind of are the timer and countdown for the other person. And if they can't think of an answer, it'll go, your color will go all the way down the light track and kind of kick the other person out. So,
all right, now we're going to play another game.
This is called Crossed Signals. In this one, Sarah is holding a handlebar with a cord connected to Kevin's handlebar. It's like a big blue handle. It's got an X at the top and an X at the bottom. If the batteries work, they're going to turn it on.
Crossed signals.
And it's kind
select
of like...
Select number of players. One player.
I think you have to hit up.
Two players.
Yeah.
Speed signals. Select right. Level. Level one. Level one. Get ready. Go.
You have to go the opposite way of the X. So it's kind of like, I don't know what it was called. Shake it, spin it, twist it, whatever this is called. Twister. The bop it, that's the word. Sarah's attacking
with me.
Amazing. Go the opposite way of the X. They're doing good. There's an X on the top and the bottom, but only half of the X lights up sometimes, so it's actually like an arrow pointing up or pointing down, and you have to move the whole device in the area shown. They're killing it. They're not even messing up. If it's an X, you go the opposite. If it's an arrow, you go the direction the arrow shows. If it's both arrows, you shake it up and down. They're ridiculously good.
Okay, I went the wrong way.
Down. Oh. Oh.
Yeah.
How many points did you get?
24. Woo.
Woo, 24.
And there's a bunch of different games.
Right. You can play against each other. You can play just individually, high score. The kids have been challenging each other. I think 29 is like their high score. So you guys were already up there. First
24.
Try. Way to go. This is a fun one. Several of the other games we haven't had an opportunity to play yet.
Nope.
And we're obviously also not allowed to share opinions on which ones we think should win. However, you should go vote. I believe if you go to wherever the web address
Toy
is, Kevin.
Toyawards.org.
There's a voting page. You'll be able to see all the games that are on there. And then, like we mentioned, if you check out our news episode from this past week, you'll be able to see all the games there as well and get a little rundown of how they play.
And get a chance to win. We're doing a giveaway.
Oh, that's right. Thanks,
Jonah.
We're
going to give away two of them. So make sure you watch our news show when it comes out, especially the special edition show. You heard it here first.
Coming out today. Like the day this is November 8th.
Yeah. Podcast is live.
So go to YouTube, watch our board game news that came out today for a chance to win one or two. I don't think we've decided if we're doing one or two people, but we're giving away two of them.
Two games to two different people.
Ooh, get so your brother, sister, mother, cousin to watch as well.
So you guys can
subscribe, like, comment.
Yeah, do all those things on the video for your chance to win, and then we will announce winners. I believe when they are we announcing it the next video, or
are we announcing
it when they announce the winners for the Toy Awards?
No, that's not until February.
We're announcing the next time we do a new shot.
All right, so you have 2 weeks.
1 week.
1 week.
1 week.
Oh, 1 week.
Special edition news.
Oh, we get new news all the time.
Yeah. It's a lot of news.
There's a lot of stuff happening. I just saw a news story today. Are we breaking the news on that?
Go for it.
What's the Yellow news? What's happening there?
I have no idea what's happening there. Yellow's parent company. What's the name of it? Yellow. Yeah. Yellow.
Yeah. Yellow of
France. Yeah. Then there's Yellow Games, which is like they do all the game stuff. Supposedly, the parent company's like, we don't want to do games anymore. So they're like.
Well, they split from Yellow USA. So there's now a Yellow North America and Yellow in Europe, in France.
But what are they going to do?
I don't know.
Like maybe it's twice the games. Maybe
or
it's like,
is North America just defunct? Because it looked like...
No, it said they were redirecting to a brand new website.
Oh, is that what's happening?
Interesting.
Yes. Okay.
So maybe we'll get twice as many games. They'll be producing them over here and over there.
I'm going to go ahead and say no to twice as many games.
My guess is Yellow North America is going to be part of Asmodee.
Getting bought out. They got to be able to chop it up so they can sell it. Makes sense. I'm on board with that.
So since we're talking about that, do you remember, guys, remember the predictions that we had at the beginning?
I do.
How can it already be this far into the year?
Right?
It's November. What's happening?
Get ready. What? I mean, well, in January, we'll recap our predictions and do new predictions. But the next few podcast episodes, we're going to do our top 10 stuff. So Kickstarters and games we wish we played and things like that.
So not this past predictions, but the one before, I think, I talked about how they were going to have a new Star Wars
RPG. I do remember that.
They're having a new Star Wars RPG.
He should have done it again.
It's the same company.
No, it doesn't matter.
No, it's still under the Asmodee umbrella, new company.
You should have totally done another prediction with that.
Well, I mean, it's already coming true.
Right. Does he have to predict it every year?
It still counts.
He was early, but it did come true.
Yeah, it got delayed because of COVID, but it happened.
Oh, because it would have happened.
Oh, you should have
right
predicted
after.
COVID.
Right.
Yeah, you should have totally
predicted that.
That would have been great. Yeah. I would have been impressed.
I would have appreciated it, actually. That would have been great. Yeah, one of the other things that we have coming up is our 200th podcast episode.
Ooh, tell us what.
Are we only two away from that? Is that like, is this 98?
This is number 98.
198.
We're only two episodes away from our 200th episode. That means we need your feedback right now. Send us an email. Send it to Sarah at
poorsarah.com.
Sarah, S-A-R-A, at tangermouse.com.
Load up that inbox. She's got them coming in like crazy for
her. Can people like do a little recording or something.
I think you could do anything. So we'd love your, first off, we'd love your suggestions. What do you think we should do for our 200th episode? Should we do some giveaways? Should we do something crazy? Is it time for like all of us to shave our heads?
No.
No.
No one was on board with that?
No.
Tattoos. We're all getting Tantrum House tattoos.
Ooh.
And we'll let you pick where we get them.
Can't wait.
No, that's a bad idea, too.
That's a bad idea, too. Bodie McBoatface.
So far, we're 0-2. Send us your suggestions. We'd love to hear from you guys. We'd love to just do some fun stuff for our 200th episode. And then we do need to do some kind of contest regardless of all these things. So.
But they should send an audio recording in or something.
We'd love to hear from you. Yeah, if you want to wish us happy 200th episode or anything of that nature, we'd be happy to consider airing whatever you want to send us.
Oh, come on, we'll air it.
I mean, that seems more risky than putting tattoos on anything, but send us some stuff. We'd love to hear from you guys. We did get some great feedback just recently. I think next episode we're going to talk about that. I had a great suggestion from somebody for a topic, and so we're going to consider that, and we've already considered it. We're going to talk about it. It's going to be fun. So join us for that episode next week, and then, 200th episode. Don't miss that one for sure. Hopefully we'll have some guests come in and say, hey, we will hopefully hear from some of you guys, and hopefully we'll have some great ideas for things that we should give away, do, have fun with, and shave. All right. Sounds like a good time to roll
shave.
Out. Let's go. See you guys.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast. If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard to Tantrum House, 306 Berry Drive, that's B-A-R-R-Y, Greer, South Carolina, 29650.